For this Thanksgiving Day service, let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We'll read the whole chapter and then focus our attention on verses 16 through 18. But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient towards all men, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this apostle be read to all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. That ends our scripture reading this morning. Now notice verses 16 through 18. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. And everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. There may be those who find it difficult today on this National Day of Thanksgiving to be thankful. We're in an economic recession that has affected many, also in the church, so that there are those who struggle financially with unemployment, underemployment, unpaid bills. And they ask, be thankful today? Be thankful. Others suffer the loss of loved ones. Still fresh in our mind is the Kuiper family of our Trinity Church, who lost a husband, father, grandfather. There are family members in this congregation suffering under that loss. Be thankful today. And the list goes on. There are those who struggle with sickness and illness, pain, depression, anxiety, marriages that haven't turned out the way they had hoped for, family members who cause concern and grief, and the list goes on. Be thankful today. The Word of God that we have before us says this: in everything, give thanks. Why? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. This passage is found in the concluding section of Paul's first letter to the church of Thessalonica. And in this section, Paul gives final instructions to the church. In verses 12 through 15, Paul instructs the saints concerning their dealings with one another. Among other things, he says, esteem the office bearers in the church highly. Live at peace among yourselves. Warn the unruly. Return good for evil. And then, beginning at verse 16 to the end, Paul instructs the saints of the church concerning their relationship to the living God. And that final section is introduced by the three verses that we consider this morning. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. These exhortations all belong with one another and build on each other. It starts with rejoice evermore. Well, how are you going to do that? Well, if you're going to rejoice evermore, you better pray without ceasing. So do that. And those who in prayer rejoice in everything will also find that they are in everything thankful. So do that too. In everything, give thanks to God. Why? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now that phrase is attached, I know, just to the final thought. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. But it controls the whole thought that we consider this morning. Rejoice evermore. Why? This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Pray without ceasing, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And in everything give thanks, because that also is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. This threefold calling, rejoice, pray, and give thanks, we consider this morning for this Thanksgiving Day service. The theme is rejoice evermore. We notice, first of all, the meaning, then the possibility, pray without ceasing, the fruit, finally, and everything give thanks. This exhortation, rejoice, is rather striking in light of the hardships that the members of the Church of Thessalonica were facing. In the first place, they were struggling with poverty. In a sense, that was true of all the churches in the apostolic era. Most of them struggled with poverty. And in most cases, the poverty was the result of their Christian faith that required much sacrifice. But that was true especially in the churches in Macedonia. And one of those churches was the Church of Thessalonica. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit or to witness of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. how that with a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Paul is writing there about giving gifts to the church in Jerusalem, which was in desperate straits. Their poverty threatened the church, and so Paul solicited gifts throughout the whole Gentile church community. And he commends the churches in Macedonia, even in their deep poverty, to give generously to the saints in Jerusalem. The church was suffering from poverty in Thessalonica, and the church was being persecuted. The church in Thessalonica was established by Paul on his second missionary journey. He went there with Silas and Timothy and Luke, and his work was, from a human point of view, cut short because the unbelieving Jews were jealous, and they rose up and began to persecute the church, so that Paul had to leave, he considered, prematurely, and head on south toward Athens and Corinth. Now, this letter, 1 Thessalonians, was written a short time after that, while Paul was still on his second missionary journey. And in this letter, there's evidence also that the persecution that forced Paul to leave continued and had increased. Chapter 2, verse 14, "For ye, brethren, became followers of the church of God which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us." There was fierce persecution that the church of Thessalonica was enduring. In that situation, Paul writes and says, "Rejoice. Rejoice evermore." That means at all times, even in your poverty, even under persecution and affliction, rejoice. Be glad. Be happy at all times. And you might ask, well, rejoice in what? The answer is, rejoice in your salvation. Paul, writing to the church of Philippi, another church in Macedonia, in chapter 4, verse 4 of that letter, gives this instruction: "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice." A very similar instruction. Rejoice always. But notice, now we're told what to rejoice in. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice that Jesus Christ is Lord. Rejoice that He's your Lord and you are His servant. Rejoice in the salvation that you enjoy under His Lordship. Rejoice in that. Always. And that's the meaning here. Rejoice in the salvation you have through the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a great joy. In fact, there is no greater joy than the joy of salvation. Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, speaks of the joy of salvation as joy unspeakable. That is, a joy which words are not yet that we have adequate to express. What is the joy of salvation that we have in Jesus Christ? Well, it's the first of all, it's the joy of deliverance. In Jesus Christ, we have been delivered from the penalty of sin. What a horrible penalty sin has, the death of hell, in Jesus Christ, we've been delivered. In Jesus Christ also we have been delivered from the power of sin. We've all been born under the control of sin, which makes us slaves of sin, so that all we can do is sin, and in that sin, destroy our marriages, ruin our homes, cause chaos in society. At best, the life of sin brings emptiness. More frequently, it brings pain and sorrow in every part of our life. And we have in Christ been delivered from the power of sin and made free to serve the living God in love. We've been delivered from the punishment of sin so that heaven awaits us. We've been delivered from the power of sin so that we can serve God in love. And in that deliverance, we find a life with God, friendship, fellowship, companionship with the ever-blessed God. And in that relationship, He not only gives us the joy of His companionship, but He provides for all of our needs for this life and for all eternity. That's the joy of salvation. Do you know that joy? That joy the saints at Thessalonica had. Chapter 1, verse 6, Paul writes, "And ye became followers of us," that means of me and of Silas and of Timothy and of Luke, who administered the word to you. "You became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost." They had that joy. They had that salvation. And now they are admonished. Rejoice in that salvation at all times. That exhortation is necessary. In times of hardship and suffering and loss and pain, we often tend to lose sight of our salvation and the joy of salvation. It doesn't have to be that way. The joy of knowing that you're free from the penalty of sin and that heaven awaits you doesn't depend on prosperity in your life. The joy of being delivered from the power of sin to serve God in love doesn't depend on peace and prosperity. The joy of knowing God is your God and living with Him and being secure in Him doesn't depend on being healthy. The joy of salvation, in fact, often is increased in times of adversity and pain because it drives us to the Lord our God, because often we have no place else to go and our relationship with Him often increases in times of suffering. And that's the way it ought to be, but not always. Sometimes we allow poverty, financial troubles, loss of loved ones, pain, marriage problems. We allow that to overshadow everything and we lose sight of our salvation and we don't rejoice in it. And so we are told here, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in your salvation at all times. Why? This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In great love, at a great cost to Himself, He gave His only begotten Son on the cross. At a great cost to Himself, God secured and provides this salvation to us. And it is His will that we enjoy that salvation as we live it. It is His desire that in the times of especially adversity, we focus not on the pain and the loss, but on the greatness of God's gift to us and rejoice in it. That's the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you and me. The joy of salvation is possible only when we pray. Everybody here knows what prayer is. It's communicating with God. It's talking with God. Through prayer, we are able to do especially three things as we communicate to Him. First of all, we're able to lay before God our needs, our cares, and our concerns. Secondly, we're able to thank God for His boundless blessings. And thirdly, we are able to praise God for His greatness and His goodness. The word that we find in this passage for prayer, and there are several words in the New Testament for prayer, the word we find here is a word which encompasses prayer in all of its aspects. Asking for God's help, expressing thanks, speaking praise. It's only through prayer that we will maintain and find the joy of salvation in Jesus Christ. Let's see how that's true. All our salvation is of God. It's found only in Jesus Christ, in the power of His death and His resurrection. And as with all of God's gifts, salvation in every part, although it's freely received, is received only by faith in Jesus Christ. Only as we by faith reach out to Jesus Christ, embrace Him, and seek that salvation. And as you know, even that faith is a gift of God. But how does faith work? How does faith reach out to Christ and embrace Him so as to receive the blessings of salvation? Faith comes to expression chiefly in prayer. Prayer is faith in action. In prayer, we come to God in Christ and we lay hold of Him with all our heart. In prayer, we come to God and we confess our miserable sins. We humble ourselves before God in shame and we ask Him, forgive us in Christ and take us back. And in the way of that sincere prayer, we find in Christ the forgiveness of all of our sins. And God takes us back and we're reconciled to Him. Through prayer, we come to God in faith with our weaknesses and the temptations we face, and we plead for help to overcome the sins in our lives and to turn away from sin and to walk in a new life. And when that new life presents all kinds of struggles and barriers that we have a hard time overcoming, we come to God in prayer and we ask for help. And when we do that with a sincere heart of faith, we receive sufficient help. So that, as Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And when there's danger and we feel insecure because of things that threaten our family, our future, we come to God in prayer and we lay them before the face of God and we ask Him to keep us. When we do that in the prayer of faith, we find the assurance of God, all is well. And through prayer, we live in constant friendship and fellowship and companionship with God under His blessing. That's prayer. It's the activity of faith. You want to enjoy your salvation? You got to pray. And so Paul exhorts the saints, pray. Pray without ceasing. No, that doesn't mean 24/7, every day, 24 hours without stop. You can't do that. It's impossible. But it does mean be very much in prayer. Be a person given to prayer so that you commune with God often, every day in prayer. The Bible sets before us the pattern of morning, noon, and evening. David, the psalmist in Psalm 55, speaks of his prayers three times a day. Daniel was thrown in the lion's den because, in spite of the decree of the king, he prayed three times a day to his God facing Jerusalem. That's a pattern for us. And don't forget, you can commune with God in prayer even during the course of your daily activities. Prayer is not limited to folding your hands and closing your eyes. But this is something we must do if we will rejoice evermore in our salvation. Those who spend little time in prayer quickly lose sight of their salvation, especially in times of adversity. And they lose the ability to live in their salvation, the new life, and the comfort and the peace that it affords. To live the joy and the joy of salvation, we need constantly, diligently, to be in prayer. And so pray without ceasing, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. God in His mercy and grace not only has provided us with the great salvation in Jesus Christ, but He's also given us in Christ the gift of prayer. You realize not everyone has the right to come into God's presence in prayer. He's the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords. He's God. You don't come into His presence. He doesn't hear you unless you're given permission. That's a right, a privilege He gave to us through Jesus' death on the cross. His will concerning us is that we use that privilege, not neglect it, that we may enjoy and live His salvation. And finally, we're charged to give thanks to the Lord in everything. The idea is that in all things, even in hardship, even amongst the adversities of life, we are to give thanks to God. Give thanks for what? Well, obviously, for the salvation that God has given us in Jesus Christ. God has given many gifts to us. The greatest of them is the gift of salvation. Do you have health? That's a gift of God. Do you have a wonderful family? A wife, a husband, children, grandchildren? That's a gift of God. Do you have the finances to provide for your daily needs and perhaps more? That's a gift of God. We live in a country of prosperity. and relative peace, and we're not persecuted, at least harshly. That's a gift of God. But those gifts are small compared to the gift of salvation in Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, God has saved your soul from hell. In Jesus Christ, God has delivered you from the slavery and tyranny of sin, set you free to serve Him. In Christ, God has given you a life of friendship and fellowship with Him that you can enjoy now, and more and greater things are to come. In Christ, God will provide for everything you need. That is the greatest gift of all. And there's not a one of us who deserves it. Not only that, but God also promises that in the midst of life, He will cause all things to work for our advantage and our salvation. Both prosperity, that's easy to see, isn't it? But also adversity. Poverty, unemployment, loss of loved ones, sickness with its disability and its pain. He will make it all work for our advantage. The scriptures are full of beautiful passages that teach that. Be thankful for those things. In the midst of prosperity, be thankful not only for the prosperity and the health you have, but be thankful that God has given you salvation, and He's even using this prosperity for your welfare. Be thankful. And in the midst of adversity, be thankful also. You have the greatest gift that matters. God has given you salvation in Jesus Christ. Don't forget to be thankful for that. And by the way, it's only when we're thankful for our salvation can we bear adversity and pain and sorrow patiently and with contentment and with peace in our hearts. Be thankful in everything. For this is the will of God concerning you. And that's the thanks that we must give God today on this National Day of Thanksgiving. Often the focus is on earthly things, and that's the occasion for Thanksgiving Day. The harvest is in, the horn of plenty is full. Let's give thanks to God, and that's very appropriate. Although for some this year, the horn of plenty isn't near as full as it used to be, but give thanks. But make sure that your thanks centers on the cross and the salvation that God has given to you. And then pray for grace that you can show your thankfulness. That's not given here in this passage. But how do we show our gratitude to God? Well, first of all, in prayer. Thank Him. Be specific. Thank Him for forgiveness, for a new life. Thank Him for the hope of eternal life. Thank Him for your salvation. And thank Him for other gifts that He's given to you. Your family, your church, your school, your daily bread. Thank Him. But we're also told in the Bible we show our thankfulness by taking all of God's gifts and using them to live a godly life in the service of Him. A prayer of thanks to God is pretty empty without a life of good works serving Him in the power of Jesus Christ. He saved you to live a life of good works serving Him that delights Him, that glorifies Him. That's how we thank Him. This is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus. At a great cost to Himself, God has provided us with our salvation. In love and mercy, He causes all things, both good and evil, to tend to our salvation. It is God's will that we thank Him in prayer and with good works, that we may be thankful. Let us rejoice in our salvation always, at all times. And that we may do that, let us be people who pray without ceasing. Amen. Father in heaven, we ask Thy blessing upon Thy word. We do in fact thank Thee for our salvation and for many earthly gifts besides that we receive from Thy hand. But above all, we thank Thee for our salvation. Give us grace, O God, to show it in a life of prayer, in a life of good works, so that we are pleasing to Thee for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let's conclude this morning by singing Psalter number 319. 319. Give thanks and praise to God above, for everlasting is His love.